Are we ready?
All right. We've got the memo in front of us. We'll open the...
Is it 1166? No. Oh, that was yesterday.
Okay. PU 10612 and PU 10613, work session on Bakken Link. We've got a memo to the commission, and I don't think the commissioners have had an opportunity yet to read it.
I haven't seen it.
We've got Mitch on the phone. We should probably identify ourselves for the record and anyone else listening in. This is Tony Clark.
Kevin Kramer.
Brian Kulk.
And from staff.
Mitch Armstrong, attorney.
Patrick Vaughn.
Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco. I should note that the memo was provided to the attorneys, and I did not think it was provided like for docketing as
okay.
a formal filing, and so I wasn't going to unless somebody thinks differently.
Well, the reason I asked to have it put on because it was because there was this request, and there has been a conditional draft order provided that we consider issuing an order that would allow construction of the Bakken Link prior to the closing of the comment period, public comment period. And so that's what this memorandum from the attorneys is their legal argument for why we can do that. And at the informal, I think we're all pretty convinced we could not. But since we have the memo, we have the opportunity, and there's this I just wanted to fly it one more time to make sure everybody's comfortable.
Sure. Well, I guess the question would be for Mitch and Ilana. You've had an opportunity to look through it. There's some precedent, it looks like, that's quoted here. Its applicability, I leave that to you. I haven't studied it. So, Mitch, do you want to...
Sure, I can start off, and I just got these yesterday. I haven't necessarily had a chance to review everything. I have looked at the statute and the both proposed orders, and I think it's the analysis is a little different between the two cases. And I'll start off with generally saying, you know, in the past we've treated these emergency circumstances more as damage to life, limb, or property, or, you know, a necessity to get electrical service, you know, relatively quickly. In this case, as far as I can tell, the request is more a result of potential financial impact to the applicant, Enbridge. And I guess from what I've reviewed in the memo, I don't know that that meets what our statutes require, even though we do have great flexibility. I think I would need to conduct some further research myself to determine whether there is any way around it, and I don't know that we would have the ability to do that before the 20 days have expired anyway. As far as the testimony at the hearings on the two different cases, I believe the testimony on case number 613 said they were expecting to need to construct by September 7th anyway, so I think there'd be some issues with some of the language in the proposed findings in that regard, because that's even after the 20 days anyway. So I have some concerns of whether the evidence at the hearing would meet what the statute calls a demonstrable emergency. And I guess on the second one, I don't know that we got a clear date, but it was very close, I think, to September 6th or September 7th anyway also. So I'm not convinced that we have the authority to enter this type of order on emergency circumstances, the basis of which are potential added cost to the applicant.
But I don't think they're arguing that. Aren't they arguing that it's the minimal adverse impact is the standard even for a conditional order? Because I don't think they're arguing that an emergency exists, or am I missing something?
Well, that's the argument for doing it before September 6th, before the public comment period expires, before the 20 days after the notice expires.
Mm-hmm.
That's the waiver of time periods. They have to demonstrate that their minimal adverse impacts will occur regardless of when we enter the order. The argument for shortening the time period, so to speak, is where the demonstrable emergency portion comes in. Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess, but I guess I wasn't sense. I guess I might have to just read this again, but I didn't I think they've. I don't sense that they're arguing the demonstrable emergency. I mean, I agree that I don't think this constitutes that for sure. But I'm not sure that that's.
Yes, maybe Brian could help us on that because that's the way I read it. I just got this yesterday about noon, so I've gone over it a couple times, but that's the way I interpreted it, and maybe Brian can clear it up for me if I'm mistaken.
Well, I'm happy to have him do that.
And I haven't had time to read I read the memo and did some research, mm-hmm. but I haven't had time to read the order, the logic in the order, you know, proposed order, because I kind of thought, well, I'll get that when it comes back after docketing.
And my understanding is the proposed order is a conditional order. It's an order conditioned upon all these things and conditioned upon, you know, the revoke, you could revoke it, and if there is comment and all that.
Maybe it would be helpful to have the basis verbalized by Brian if you want to.
I'm happy to if you guys are comfortable doing that. Brian, do you want?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I had a couple comments on the memo.
Okay.
I guess just for the record, Brian Biello with Crowley Fleck representing Enbridge Pipelines on these matters. This came up rather quickly, so I didn't even get to grab the statute before I came up, but it was my reading of it's 49.2207.2, I believe, which would allow the waivers for either minimal adverse effects or demonstrable emergency, I believe, was my reading of it. So that's clearly the basis that we're going on, Mitch, is we're...
He's looking up the statute. Waiving procedures and time schedules after hearing and upon one of those two things. One of those two things being minimal adverse impact.
Yeah, Mitch, I think clearly that's, you know, under 49.2207.2, it says commission after hearing. So we did have the hearing last week.
Right.
Which we discussed the deviations, the fact that under the deviation rule, there's no exclusion or avoidance area impacts. So I think that we believe we demonstrated produce minimal adverse effects. So that's the part we're going on. Because then the statute goes on to say, or after a hearing upon a finding of demonstrable emergency, we're clearly not going under that section. So it's that first part of that sentence, which I just read, which we are filing under and believe that the commission does have authority to issue a conditional order. We did cite the one case, the Hagen case, I believe, which was a conditional order. And some other law from some other jurisdictions, which allowed for a conditional order. And clearly 49.2207.2 gives the commission very broad discretion. They can waive, apparently, right to an order if it's a true emergency, but that didn't happen here. So we did have the hearing last week.
Okay.
So
just so I understand you right, Brian, it's your position you're not trying to show a demonstrable. I mean, maybe it's because I read the proposed findings, too, and I thought some of the findings maybe indicate it was an emergency basis. But so you're not going under a demonstrable emergency. You're relying on the or and saying that a finding that the proposed facility is of such length, design, location, or purpose that it will produce minimal adverse effects.
That's correct.
Alana.
I believe, Brian, there's a separate section, though, that talks about being able to not have a hearing on an application for a waiver and just having a notice of opportunity, but that's where that 20-day requirement seems unwaivable.
Yeah.
Because it says, okay, you can be more flexible on waiver requests, and you can not have a hearing but have a notice of opportunity. And then you have general law back in 2832, where you just can't do less than 20 days without the emergency. Nowhere in the Siting Act, and I don't have the book, you do, but my recollection is nowhere in the Siting Act do you get, you have all these specifics, but nothing specific saying shorten that period to less than 20 days, which then brings you to, okay, we're not shortening the period, because that would give you a final order. If you shortened the period, you'd have a final order, but you're saying, please give us a temporary order, which brings us back to the memo, which I wanted to just point out a couple things about what you cited, and I didn't do total research. The Territorial Integrity Act cases, I don't think, are analogous in any way. The temporaries, believe me, I have questioned the authority for the temporaries, but in the territorial integrity world, nobody is rocking that boat. You have people that need electric service, and you have co-ops and IOUs that know that, are willing to do a temporary, and then if you go to hearing, and the co-op's the only entity entitled to protest that thing, if you go to hearing, you are back at the facts as they existed. The temporary has no meaning except to help the person have electricity while he builds his house. And it's just a totally different type of process. No specific authority. No one's ever raised it, but I don't know that you could look to it for a basis. And if I'm recalling the Center State Bank one correctly from my past life, that was after a hearing. So you already had your notice and all your public input, and all there were was some questions about the quality of the people who were going to run the bank, and they had to get their act together. So they had, like, interim authority, get your act together, we'll look at you again in a year and see if you are qualified to run a bank. So the two territorial integrity ones, I think, are distinguishable. And then when you get to that third section about the federal rules, you're talking about a rulemaking. We've got that same issue in North Dakota where rulemaking, you can be a little more flexible. One of the cases somebody brought up not so long ago was the fact that it was a city ordinance, and you could be a little more flexible with the time period. The publication thing about substantial compliance with publication instead of actual, that's all for rulemaking. That's for ordinances. That's for things that people have to do, but no actual rights being litigated. And so they're not analogous either, I don't think.
And this is Mitch. What I'm looking at is 28.32.32 subsection 3, which is the emergency provision that Alana just mentioned. The agency may give a notice of hearing by giving less than 20 days notice as is necessary to prevent or avoid imminent peril to the public health, safety, or welfare when it doesn't involve a complaint against a specific party. And I'm pretty sure that's the one that we'd fall under here. You know, and what we've given is 20 days to request a formal hearing. And if we do get a request like that, which I will admit does not seem likely in this case, but it is possible, then we run into numerous issues with a conditional permit out there at the time those requests come in.
What's that, which statute was that again, Mitch?
28.32.32 subsection 3 is the one I believe would apply to this situation.
Okay.
Commissioners, I had earlier said to the company that because the company is willing to take the risk, and I had actually said this is my own opinion, not yours, that the company can take the risk by beginning construction without a permit.
And the thought's crossed
commission
mind times.
May or may not do anything to enforce that. And a penalty might be cheaper than the construction delay. But that doesn't involve any commission action. That involves discretion, where to put your resources in enforcement, which we do all day long, every day. We make those choices. So to me, that's the company taking the risk, as opposed to the commission taking the risk.
Well, I appreciate all the background. Nothing has really changed my viewpoint since the last time we spoke. It's all good background, but nothing's changed for me.
And I guess if I might, I guess I was looking at 49.22.13 sub 2, which is the public hearing and notice. And, of course, we're not asking to waive the 20 days. That's occurring. That will still happen. What we're saying is that we believe the authority exists in the law for the commission to issue an order which is conditional, which says this is not final, that you, if you chose Enbridge, you can proceed, but you do it at your own risk. You do it at the chance and an opportunity. A notice will come in, a request will come in by the 6th, that you will choose to have a public hearing, that They could be told to stop construction, those type of things. So the 20-day notice still runs, and the notice of opportunity to be heard still exists for the 20 days. It's just, you know, do the statutes provide enough authority to issue a conditional order? And we believe the waiver statute does, and protects you, the commission, because it's conditional, because Enbridge would then have to proceed at its own risk. And if a request for hearing comes in by the 6th, and you, under the statute, for good cause, if you decide to grant it, then you can order, and it's right in the conditional order that you retaining the right to grant that hearing, to order stoppage of construction, so that's the risk on Enbridge. So, but to me, under 49.2207.2, I mean, you have very broad discretion and authority, but yet I think what we've asked for and the way this has been structured is, you know, it's only a conditional order. It can be revoked, suspended. It provides for that already in the draft orders. I think the public is still being protected. They're not losing their 20 days. They still have the right to request a hearing should someone do so. But Enbridge, I think, is willing to take the hopeful risk that these are such minimal matters that no one's going to and then proceed on that basis.
So this idea of a conditional order, I mean, is there any precedent for?
Commissioners, right before the meeting, Mitch and I talked, and I said to Mitch, I think theoretically something could be drafted. Whether it could be done by the 7th and be correct, I don't know. And then we talked a little bit about schedules and the fact that I'm not really up to speed on this case. Pat has another hearing to go to, and you know, there's all these other issues just to get the thing done. I don't know that I have no comment on the proposed one because I haven't read it, so I don't know if that's, you know, could be envisioned. But nothing I've heard brings any conditional language to mind right now that would be acceptable. And perhaps Mitch has a different opinion. I think theoretically it could be done because we've played around with those things in other cases.
I guess what I'm sitting here thinking, I apologize if it may not be directly on point, but to the extent a conditional permit can be issued, and I think certainly in an emergency circumstance things can change, but, you know, are we looking at something, Brian, you know, if this was just a straight application, you know, if you can do it in this sense, couldn't you just do that on a straight application too and have it a conditional permit subject to the hearing, and construction might be halfway done by the time you have a public hearing? That seems to me like something that would be frowned upon by the law, and maybe I'm inaccurate. I'd be curious on your thoughts on that.
Well, you're arguing to some degree de minimis standard exists here, aren't you?
Minimal adverse effect.
Well, we run into that in every case, though.
That's the standard under the waiver statute.
Yeah, that's the standard under the entire Siting Act.
Someone could do that, I suspect. Theoretically, they could probably do that. I mean, I've never seen it. And
the problem, though, when you start trying to get too cute, where, I mean, you've got a straight path. That's kind of the plain reading of the law.
1 week from
and then you've got ways that you can theoretically get there, but it seems like you just set yourself up for trouble with some other case down the line that we can't even envision right now. And
you can't unturn,
trying to contort yourself. Yeah,
you can't unturn the dirt. If the thing develops that you hear about on the 6th is something that you have already dug up, I mean, I can't come up with it, but that's the point of the period. You cannot put it back. And that's why you don't have the, as Bill would always say, the turning of the dirt is the controlling thing here.
We tried.
I think it's as good as argument as you can make.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's a long route to get there.
All right.
Okay. Can we circle back to Bach and Link 1
One thing quickly, though.
11.
I asked Brian earlier about the advantage of pushing this out at 5 o'clock on Monday versus 10 o'clock on Tuesday. And I guess you're going to check with the company to see if there's any advantage to that, but it, likely there wouldn't be, and there'd be no point.
So I'm happy to hold a hearing.
We'll do it as quick as we can.
5:05 on Tuesday night. Right. That's fine.
I'll double check. I suspect the 7th will work, but I'll just double check and let
and make sure, yeah.
Pat know if that would be acceptable.
Or if they wanted to get a jump on it early in the morning as opposed to, you know, I don't know when we'd get to it, whenever, 8 o'clock, 8:15.
Play Peanut until 10.
We're done with this one.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch.
Bye.
We're going to jump back to 10 to 18.